Blog Talk Radio.
Belgium, Canada,
Colombia, Finland, France, Germany, Ghana, Ireland, Japan, Mexico, the Netherlands, Poland, Portugal, Russia, South Africa, South Korea, Thailand, the United Kingdom, Vietnam, and the United States of America, of course. We greet you all, and we pray that you have had a blessed Feast of Unleavened, and that you have genuflect and retroflect on your lives, and that during this time you have been seeking the Most High, that you have removed the leaven from your life, that you have examined your walk with Messiah, and that you are, you know, have made a choice to come closer to him as we move toward the Feast of Pentecost, which I call Citizenship Day, because that's the day that the Most High opened the kingdom to the saints, first to Israel and then to the rest of the world. We are going to be continuing in on this particular night in discipleship, and we are still continuing in everlasting judgment. Because the truth of the matter is, we got a ways to go in this particular precept, and it's the last as far as the doctrines of Messiah, the necessary doctrines that we need to know that Messiah taught. And the last one of those is eternal judgment. And so we started this on Tuesday, I believe, eternal judgment. We're going to continue today as we close out the Feast of Unleavened. And, you know, I'm in a blessed place because God is good and he's worthy. And I give him all glory and honor and praise. I give him, you know, glory for just allowing me, a wretch like me, to worship him, to be able to come to him, and that he would take the blinders off of my eyes to let me see that he is the one and only true Elohim. There is no other God but him, and everything else is a false god. And so my hope, all of my hope, is in him. That he, what he says, he's going to do, that every word he has had written is going to happen, and that, you know, I believe him. I believe him with my entire being. And so I pray that, you know, that you are there as well, that you believe him, that you are going to act on your beliefs, because, you know, I think, really do believe that men today don't really, I know that they don't fear him, and they don't think judgment is really going to come. You know, he's not going to judge. Especially if you don't believe in him, but, you know, because we don't see judgment right away, a lot of people just feel like, hey, I got time. I got time to get straightened out. I got time to repent. I got time to, you know, keep doing what I want to do, and I'll come to him at the last minute. I would advise strongly against that, coming to him at the last minute and doing what you want to do. You know, fear him is what this is all about. You know, and a lot of people don't like that message. They don't like that message of fear the Most High. They want a buddy. They want a friend. They want a God that's all loving and all forgiving. And he is all those things to those that he loves. But you got to make sure you get it on the side that he loves. Don't love everybody. And that's a hard thing for people to accept. And I just have to say it. I have to preach the truth. I cannot let it go unsaid, because there's just a lot of false doctrines in the world and a lot of false messages. And people are just doing whatever the heck they want to do. But this is his feast that he ordained. This should be a holy convocation, the first and the last day. So we want to raise up a praise to the Most High Elohim. We want to thank him for salvation. We want to thank him for sending Messiah, and that he would be obedient and die for our sins, and that he would redeem us if we would just believe and do what he said to do. So thank you, Most High. Thank you, Yah, for thinking about us before the foundations of the world and making a way for us to come back to you, to get to you, because in and of ourselves, we had no way to return to you. We were wretched undone. Our blood was tainted. Our minds were tainted. Our hearts were tainted. We were just undone. And had you not made a way, had you not loved us and made a way for us, we could not get back to you. So especially want to make note and thank him for that, for his gift of salvation, for the thing, the work that was done on the cross, on the stake, that, you know, we have a way back into relationship with the Father. So thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Because where would I be right now? What would I be? What would I be doing? You know, if it was the old man, me ain't no telling what I would be doing. And I thank Yah that my mind is dead set on him, dead set on his kingdom, dead set on doing what thus saith Yah Elohim. That he is first thought. He's not an afterthought. But he is first when I wake up in the morning. He's last to be thought of when I go to sleep. No matter what's going on in my dreams. And I just want to give glory to him and honor and praise. Because a lot of people, that ain't where their heart is at. That ain't where their mind is at. And I would much rather be thinking about the Most High than anything else. So hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah to you, O Yah Elohim. You are worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Let us start off this day. Let me have the ladies to uncover their heads. Men, ladies, cover your head. Men, uncover your head. And let us do our statement of faith. Yep, as soon as I bring it up, let us do our statement of faith. And understand that your statement of faith is reaffirming what you believe. And this is what we should walk in. So it's not just something that we say, but these are, you know, the elements of our faith and what we believe. So our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy to be praised, Father. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. Hallelujah, Father. We extol you. We lift you up. We magnify your name on today. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. For you are Elohim, and you are Elohim all by yourself. is no other, Father, and we will not bow down to another. But it's to you, Father, that we give our adoration and our worship to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Glory to you, O Yah Elohim. Glory to you. Hallelujah. 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 Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespass. Please forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forevermore. Amen and amen. The book of 1 Kings, the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. Starting in verse 46. 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance. Thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee, but to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, to love him and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Deuteronomy chapter 11. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other Elohim, which you have not known. Exodus chapter 20. The book of Exodus, chapter 20, starting in verses 1. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1, verses 1 through 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And Elohim spake all of these words, saying, I am Yah thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. That thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousand of them that love me and keep my commandments. You love the Most High, that you'll keep his commandments. If you disobey him, he says you hate him. Proverbs chapter 8, the book of Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. The book of Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. I love them that love me. Hear what the Most High said. I love them that love me. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And those that seek me early shall find me. You have to seek the Most High out. The book of John. See what Messiah says. You know, a lot of people will say, you just talk about the Old Testament. That's all you talk about. It's kind of funny to me. It really is. John chapter 14. And we're going to get verse 15, what Messiah said. If you love me, keep my commandments. Most High, no matter whether he's coming in the flesh or whether he's in spirit, he wants his people to obey his voice, keep his commandments. If you love me, keep them. May the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen. And amen. Now let's jump into this precept, because those verses that we read out almost every lesson until the Most High gives me a change, they are to reaffirm what we are supposed to be all about. They are to reaffirm that we are his people. They are to reaffirm that we keep his commandments to show that we love him. They are to reaffirm that we hear his voice and that we are going to be obedient. Everything that we want to keep in front of us, we always want to reaffirm it so that it stays before us, so that we don't ever forget it. We are a nation of priests. That's what we were supposed to be. That's why the Most High is waking us in the last days, that we might take back our spot that he chose us for, because his church has gone blind. His church is doing things and teaching things that are not his word. And so we have to bring them back track to obey his commandments. But not just to obey his commandments, but to fear him. Because if you don't have the fear of the Most High, you will not obey him. That's what he told us. He told our forefathers when he came down to meet them the first time in Exodus chapter 19. I'm showing you this great sight, me coming in this dark cloud, the trumpets blowing louder and louder and louder and louder, the mountain melting. I put the fear of me in you that you didn't even want to meet me because you thought you would die if you did. And that was my intent because I wanted you to fear me, to obey me. And we have gotten, you know, Israel has always had a problem with that, but even more so today, the world, his body, supposedly body, has no fear of him. So they don't have a fear of sinning, because all I got to do is say, I'm sorry. All I got to do is say, I repent. But that's a lie. He don't teach that. He don't say that. That verse, it doesn't mean what the world is teaching. Most pastors, I love them that love me. I love them that keep my commandments. And if we're not keeping his commandments, if we're not observing his feast days, if we're not trying to perfect ourselves, to be his children, if we don't value being his child, then are we Esau? Don't value our birthright. It don't mean anything to us. We'll sell it for a bowl of beans. We'll give it away. We won't honor it. We won't care how we represent daddy. We'll just do whatever feels good to us. But, you know, I just rose today to tell you. That's not the Elohim in this book. That's not the Elohim that we serve. So let us go to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. And we are going to get Acts chapter 24. Well, no, I'm sorry. I need to do this correctly. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. The book of Hebrews chapter 6. So we're going to get verses 1 and 2, because this is what this precept is about. This is the root of this precept. And even though we're talking about his eternal judgment, we're doing this from the standpoint that Messiah came to teach us and to give us the examples, to set us back on track, to set Israel back on track as to what was intended from the beginning. And so therefore, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, of Messiah, let us go on to perfection. As disciples, this is what we're supposed to be doing, going on to perfection. As Most High said, be thou perfect, for I am perfect. I expect perfection. And I expect perfection from you. And so he's not telling us to do something that we cannot do. We just have to want it. And we have to want it with our whole heart. And the only way you're going to achieve it is to value it above everything else. The only way you're going to achieve it is to put him above, before everything and everybody else. It has to be the main focus of your life, period. If you try to put him second or third, you're not going to make it. Don't matter whether you're male or female. Don't matter whether you're Jew or Greek, Gentile. If he's not first in your life, you're not going to make it. You're not going to qualify. Because he is the Most High Elohim. He is the creator of everything. And he don't have to settle for second best. He don't have to settle for your second best effort. This is what I want. This is what I'm going to have. And we got to understand that. So we're supposed to be, Messiah came to give us the principles, the key to get back into right relationship with him. And so he taught certain doctrines. And once we know those doctrines, then we're to use what we learn from those doctrines to move on to perfection, to perfect our walk. We want to make it into the kingdom. We want to make it into the good side of the kingdom. We don't want to make it into the lake side of the kingdom. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead work. It's a doctrine. Messiah taught us. Repent. But see, repentance has always been in the Most High's wheelhouse. He told Israel, you can repent of a sin that was ignorant. So I gave you my statutes, my laws, my commandments, and my judgments. And then if you did something that wasn't discussed, that you didn't know, then you would repent. The day you found out that it was wrong, you would repent. Because surely you would not consciously, willfully disobey. He says, so if you ignorantly sin, you can confess it. You can bring a sacrifice. That's nothing new. That's nothing new in the scriptures. That's nothing new in Torah. Nowhere in Torah will you find, except for with David, that the Most High excused willful sin. He says, you know what? The only place you're going to find this is when you talk about David. And he says, I'm not going to impute what David did with Bathsheba. I'm not going to impute that sin against him. I'm not going to charge him. That's the only one that you will find that ever happening with. Everywhere else, he imputed your sin against you. And when it was amongst Israel, you died right away. Whether it was one or whether it was thousands. All you got to do is read the scriptures. Pay attention. You make the Most High mad, people died. And usually within the thousands. And then what David did, the Most High didn't forgive Israel. He looked at David and said, David, sent the prophet to David and said, David, go number the people. David and his advisors, his men knew they weren't supposed to do that. You sure, David? The Most High told him to number the people. Number the people. Then he came back after they numbered and then charged David with a sin. Charged Israel with a sin. He says, now I'm going to give you three choices. You can spend 3 months running from your enemy. You can spend 3 days this plague, and I forget the last one. I have to go look that one up. But David chose, the plagues. Let me not fall into the hands of men. Let me not have to run from them. Let me fall into the hands of the Most High. And then 70,000 people died in 3 days. 70,000 in 3 days. Because the Most High was like, I'm a judge of people. They died. And they were getting ready to destroy Jerusalem. And then the Most High said, told the angel that was destroying them, stop. Stop right there. Because the angel was getting ready to tear up Jerusalem and kill everybody in Jerusalem. And the Most High stopped it. said, okay, that's enough. Stop right there. My anger is spent. So he's never played. He's never played. And he says, you know, I'll have mercy on you. And when Israel would sin, we are a people who have spent more time in slavery and in being exiled than we have been free. How is it that we think that the Most High is playing? We're in exile right now because of what our forefathers did. Been in exile for, what, 2,000 years? But the Most High, he playing around. The Most High wasn't angry with us. The Most High, you know, he's all merciful. He's all kind. No. He don't play. And so we got to understand that. And because we don't see judgment coming right away, we think that he's not going to judge. We think that, you know, we get in a little bit of trouble and that's it. And that's it for right now. No, if you get in a little trouble with the Most High, if you get chastised by the Most High, know that he loves you. Know that he loves you because he chastises those he loves. You do wrong, he chastises you. If you don't see no chastisement when you do wrong, you ought to be scared because you don't belong to him. Of having faith toward Elohim. Believing him. This is what, you know, Messiah said. Do you believe that I am who I say that I am? Do you believe what is written in the scriptures? Do you have faith in the Most High? That his word is true. That what he says he will do, he will do. And what he says is going to happen is going to happen. Do you believe that? Beyond a shadow of a doubt, without doubting. Messiah said we were to believe. Without doubting. That the word of the Most High is true, it's good. That's the faith that he was talking about in the Most High, the faith in Elohim. Of the doctrines of baptism, how do you get saved? What was the purpose of Messiah coming? To get us back into the kingdom, his plan of salvation. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. That is his plan. Before, I baptized Israel in the water, and I baptized Israel in the clouds. But I didn't give all of Israel my spirit. I gave my spirit to those people that it was needed to give to do work, to guide the people, to perform, to build the tabernacle, and to give them the wisdom in those trades, in the building of the ark, and, you know, doing the needlework and all that work that had to be done. I filled the king and my prophet with my spirit. And my spirit gave them strength, gave them wisdom, gave them knowledge that they didn't have on their own. Samson wasn't strong on his own. It was only when the Spirit of the Most High came on Samson that Samson became strong. He did this for a few men in Torah. But then he says, in the last days, I'm going to open up my spirit to all mankind. And to enter into my kingdom, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. And the Spirit is not studying the word. The Spirit is not reading the word of the Most High. The Spirit is the Most High himself, his spirit. These words, this Bible just introduces you to him. Then you got to seek after him. So we got these brothers teaching that, you know, the more words you know, the more spirit you got. That is a lie from the pits of hell. So they can quote the Bible and still not know the Elohim of the Bible. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I knew you not. You say you know me, but you still run around here fornicating and committing adultery and defiling your temple, doing everything you're not supposed to do, but you say you know me. But indeed, you deny me. To you Christians that say you're casting out demons and feeding the hungry and doing all kind of miraculous work, but you don't keep my laws, my statutes and my commandments, my judgment. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I don't know you. You claim to know me, but I don't know you. He's not playing with this stuff. He says there's only one way into his kingdom. Except Messiah be baptized in the water and be baptized with the Spirit of the Most High. That is what makes you his child. His Spirit makes you his child. And without it, you're none of his. So we got to believe what's written. And stop trying to sidestep the issue. Stop trying to come in the back door. Stop trying to come in a side window. Ask the Most High for his Spirit. Yeah, I need you. I need your Spirit to guide me. I need to enter into your kingdom. And he says, you got to want me with your whole heart. You got to put me above everything else. Want me to choose you? You want to be one of those chosen grains from the heave offerings? You got to put me first. I can't be second or an afterthought. I got to be first. You got to desire me that much. It must be born. That's the doctrines of the baptism. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit of the Most High. His Spirit has to dwell in you, in us. And without his Spirit, he says, we are none of his. And because when he comes and dwells in our body, if we are still doing unclean things, he says, if we're destroying the temple, he says, those that defile the temple, he will destroy. You defiling the place that I dwell in. You defiling the place. I got to move out of this house. So we have to understand and we have to walk in his ways. We got to do what he says to do. Everything else, if you're not in his kingdom, if you haven't done what he said to do, if you're not doing what he says to do, everything else is not important. It's not important. If you don't get into his kingdom, everything else is not important because the future is already written. And see, when he talks about predestination, predestining somebody in a place, all those who meet the requirements, this is what's going to happen to them. They're going to be, this is what they're going to, it's going to happen to them. They're going to end up in my kingdom on the good side of the kingdom. I have already determined that before the foundations of the world. Because a lot of people believe that that predestination means that I already chose you before the foundations of the world. And so it don't matter what you do. I chose you, and so you're going to get in no matter what you do. See, that's another lie from the pits of hell. That's not what that predestination means. It means I have already predestined. I've already set up what's going to happen to everybody that overcomes, to everybody that chooses the right path. I'm not going to take your choice from you. I don't want those that don't want me. So you cannot want me, and because I chose you from the foundations of the world, you're just going to walk into the kingdom? No. I've set up that this everybody that meets this standard, that does these things, what will happen to them? I have predestined anybody that does this, this is what the reward they get. That's what that means. So you don't get to be ugly and a child of hell And then say, well, the Most High selected me before the foundations of the world, so I got it made. Are you stupid? Something wrong with you. He's not going to take away your choice. And you got to choose. And you got to want him with your whole heart. You got to value him above everything in your life. And of the resurrection of the dead. If there's no resurrection from the dead, then everything else is false. If there's no resurrection from the dead, then you might as well do everything that you think you want to do while you have breath in this body. Everything that you think is going to give you pleasure, that's going to make you happy, you ought to do it right now if there is no resurrection. And if there's no resurrection, there's no judgment. If there's no judgment, then when you die, you just go into the ground. That's it. There's no more. And the scriptures tell us that. If there is no judgment, if Christ was not resurrected, then we are miserable indeed. Going around trying to keep these statutes, these laws, these commandments, and these judgments for what? There's no reward for doing it? The kingdom don't exist? So you have to know and believe that there's a resurrection and that the Most High is going to judge. Or else you might as well go ahead and have your fun now. Now, this is right in your own Bible. So you got to make a choice. Do you believe what is written? Do you believe that the Most High exists? Do you believe that he's going to judge? Do you believe that Messiah came, was born into the world, died for our sins, and was resurrected and ascended back into heaven? Do you believe that? Because if you don't, then you ought not be doing nothing that's in this book. And if you do, you ought to be doing everything that's in this book. It's just that simple. So we are talking about eternal judgment. The Most High says, my judgments are going to be eternal. My word is going to stand forever. If you fall on my bad side and you go to the lake, it's going to be eternal forever. You ain't coming up out of there. Where they come up with, the Catholic Church comes up with this doctrine of purgatory, and you go spend some time in purgatory and you work off your sins and then you get out, that ain't nowhere in no scriptures, nowhere. He says there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Forever. Your torment shall be everlasting, forever, eternal. And if you're not afraid of that, because, you know, if you think that this 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 120 years, if that's a long time to you, and you think that not believing in the Most High and not obeying his voice and doing what you want to do, if you believe that time is worth eternity, then make your choice. Because the end is eternal. You're either going to be in eternal punishment or you're going to be in eternal bliss. Eternal. In his presence. Forever. Or you're going to be in the lake forever. This is what his judgments, eternal judgments are about. This is what Messiah preached, what he taught. Anything outside of that, then that's the doctrines of men. Once we know these doctrines, we ought to be steadfast in them. We ought to walk in them. We all ought to conduct ourselves accordingly. Everything aspect of our life. And see, when we're coming out of the churches, we're not really taught most of this. We're not. I came out of the church. We're supposed to be a pastor in the Christian church. I've been a deacon. I've been an elder in the Christian church. Have counseled people. Have witnessed to people. The church is not doing what the church is supposed to do. And Israel is not doing what Israel is supposed to do. Caught up in Hebrewism. We the people of the book. We keep these statutes, these laws, and these commandments. No, you don't. You're keeping some of them. And surely not keeping his judgment. They said we're supposed to keep his judgments as well. They said, no, Israel is going about to establish their own righteousness over his righteousness. We got a better way most time. We believe what science says. My child ain't really that bad. Yeah, no, never mind, they slapped me. That ain't that bad. I whipped his behind. Most times that one was supposed to die. That's my judgment. I already told you what my judgment was. That one is supposed to die. He bold enough to slap you? He's supposed to die. That's my judgment. Oh, no, can't do that. That's my child, Most High. I can't do that. We'll work it out. Oh, so your righteousness is better than my righteousness. Your judgment is better than my judgment. This is what Israel is guilty of. So we have to get this thing right. We got to believe what he says. We got to do what he says, even when it's contrary to our own nature, to our own heart. Most High, I know what you said about this. My heart don't really want to do it, but your will be done. Messiah went through that. Most High, do I really have to go through what I got to go through for these hard-headed knuckleheads? They don't even believe what I'm telling them. What? Is there another way? But not my will. Your will be done. So we're going to face some issues that we might not necessarily agree with the Most High as far as what should happen, but it ain't about what we agree with. It's about what his will is, what he has said that it is. And will we be obedient to him? Go to the book of Acts now. So we're supposed to be moving on to perfection, leaving the doctrine, the principles of the doctrines of Christ, moving on to perfection. Not that we forget about his doctrines. We got to know them. We got to know what he taught, what it means. We got to apply it into our lives. We got to do them. We got to govern ourselves by them. Because by doing them and governing ourselves by them, we will move on to perfection. We'll move on to what it is that he wants. You know, you're not going to reign with him 1,000 years and then don't do what he say to do. You're not going to reign with him 1,000 years and don't reign the same way that he does. He said, I'm coming. I'm going to reign with a rod of iron. I ain't giving y'all no slack. You messed up. Judgment is coming right away and swiftly. And everybody that I give a crown to tell them to rule with, they're going to have to rule the same way. You mess up and you're up under them, judgment has to come swiftly. Swiftly. That's the way he's going to rule. what that rod of iron means. It's going to be stiff. It's going to be strict. Ain't going to be this time to say, oh, I'm sorry. No, it ain't going to be none of that. Crack, hit you upside your head. Crack, cut you in half. You're in the kingdom. Crack, bind them. Throw them in the pit. This knucklehead chose, after they'd have made it into the kingdom, they chose to think some foolishness and to do some foolishness. They know more forgiveness. They know more I'm sorry. They know. Throw them in the lake. I'm going to cut out all that foolishness in my kingdom. So we got to understand. The book of Acts. Chapter 24. Because judgment is not coming right away. We don't see it. But we don't understand what the Most High is doing either. We don't understand what he's already told us. Acts chapter 24 and verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way. Let's see, am I in the right verse? No, I'm sorry. My bad. I'm reading someplace else. My bad. Acts chapter 17. The book of Acts chapter 17, verse 31. Pardon me. The book of Acts chapter 17. Verse 31. Because he has appointed a day. Before, judgment was coming right away. Most of us says, you know what? As part of my plan of salvation, I'm going to step back. I'm going to set a grace period. And I'm going to allow from the time of Messiah until the end, I'm going to set a grace period. And I'm going to allow men in every generation until I get what I want. I'm going to allow men to repent. I'm going to allow them to learn of my ways. I'm going to allow them to learn what is sin and to repent of it, turn away from it. And a way to come back to me through Messiah. I'm going to set that grace period. And at the end of that grace period, I have appointed a day. Now, this day is not one day. It's not a 24-hour period. It's a time frame. That Most High is going to come back, and he's going to judge this world. The world. And he's going to clean it up. He's going to remove everything that offends, that is wicked, out of his kingdom. That day is a time frame, not a 24-hour period. But when he cleans it up, for I have appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. By that man whom he has ordained, that's going to be Messiah, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. You can rest assured that this day that I have appointed for judgment is coming. You can rest assured in that, because I raised Messiah. And if you believe I raised Messiah, you have to believe that this day is coming. Because the Messiah that I raised, he's going to be the one to come back and judge. He's going to be the one that comes back and cleans up this world, starting with Israel. Starting with Israel. He's going to move out through the rest of the world. Every false religion, every idol, every unbeliever, every person that is still in sin, that never repented, that repented and then went back, that didn't mean their repentance. He's going to kill them. His angels are going to remove them out of the earth, into the lake. When we were reading on the resurrection, the book says he's going to remove the wicked. The saints are waiting for Messiah to come back and take us somewhere. He said, I'm going to send my angels first, and they're going to remove the wicked first. So we got to understand. He's going to clean this world up. We're not going to heaven. Heaven is coming here. He's going to clean this earth up. And then his land has been so defiled. When you read in Zephaniah, he says, I'm just going to burn the land up. And every place where I find a false god, a false religion, I'm going to burn that place to the roots. I'm going to burn it up. I'm going to clean it with fire. I'm going to burn up all their priests, all their believers. I'm going to get rid of this mess out of my kingdom. So you don't see it coming now. He says, I've appointed a day for this to happen. Will come a day. I've already appointed it. And when that day hits, getting into the kingdom is shut down. You can't enter in, get access to it. You can't get your citizenship once that happens. If you're not in the kingdom, by that time, you ain't getting in. If you're not a citizen by that time, you're not going to become a citizen. And you are doomed to the lake of fire. That's why we don't play with this. That's why we get our citizenship while we can, because tomorrow is not promised to us. We might go to bed tonight and not wake up tomorrow. We might go walking down the street and somebody drive by shooting at somebody else and shoot up. Got hit by a stray bullet. It's not promised to us. And when we try to live like tomorrow is promised to us, we do error. We walk in error. There were some people who were here yesterday that thought they would be here today, that are not here today. I remember when my mother-in-law died. That came on her so quick, she was thinking about what she was going to be doing the next day. And within 15 minutes, she was dead. Not promised to us. So we should never take this for granted. We should never live this life like we tomorrow is owed to us. Like we got time. You don't have time. Today when you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Because you may not have tomorrow. I remember when I was in the church. And Most High, forgive me. And I always, you know, I always ask him for forgiveness for this because I was being disobedient. I was in the church. I was up in the pulpit. I wasn't preaching. I was my pastor's armor bearer at the time. And so I sat in the pulpit with him. And he was up preaching. And while he was preaching, the Spirit said, go down and get this brother and bring him for prayer. And the pastor's in the middle of the message. So I said, I will wait until the message was over and I'd go down and get this brother. Well, I wasn't going to be disobedient about it. I just didn't move right then. And when the message was over, I looked up and this brother was gone. He was gone. And died that night. And trust me, I was all kind of torn up because I know that the Most High had told me to go down and get this brother, bring him to the altar. And I should have moved right then. So now I don't hesitate in those things because it could be a matter of somebody's eternity. So when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't become stiff-necked. Be obedient. Move right then. Okay? He's appointed a day. And when that time comes, he's shutting down all routes to salvation. He's shutting down getting into the kingdom. You are either in or you are out. So while you can, if you don't know him that way, if you have not been walking before him and seeking out to be perfect in him, if you have not been obeying his voice and his commandments, today, harden not your heart. Turn yourself over to him. Submit yourself to him 100%. In everything. Because you might not have tomorrow. Go to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 2. And we're going to start in verse 1. Romans chapter 2, starting in verse 1. I love the book of Romans. I love this whole Bible. But when it comes to what was wrong with Israel, the book of Romans just sort of spells it out in all kind of different things. Romans chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever you are that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest does the same thing. Now this is what the Pharisees were doing. The Pharisees were saying, do this, do that, but they weren't doing. And then they would judge the people. They didn't see you doing it, they judged you. You sinner, you this, you that, you're not following the commandments, you're not following the traditions of the fathers. But they weren't doing it. This is what he's talking about. If I'm telling you to do something, me myself, I'm going to say this right now, if I'm telling you to do something and I'm not doing it, this is applying to me. It's not saying don't judge. But if you're doing the same things that you're telling other people not to do, then there's something wrong. You're a hypocrite. But we are sure that the judgment of Elohim is according to truth against them which commit such things. If I'm telling you to stop fornicating and I'm fornicating, I'm going to tell you to stop. That's what I tell these brothers, so-called teachers. Preaching and teaching and still doing all kind of wickedness. Can't do that. But we are sure that the judgment of Elohim is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that thou judgest them which do such things and does the same? that thou shalt escape the judgment of Elohim? I'm a Hebrew Israelite. We the people of the book. Y'all not keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments. And if we're doing the same thing, do we not think we're going to get judged? Do we think we escape the judgment? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? Do you despise of Elohim's goodness and the forbearance and his forbearance? I haven't judged y'all yet. And his long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of Elohim leadeth thee to repentance? Are you telling people to stop and you're not stopping? Do you despise what he's doing? But after thy hardness and impertinent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of righteousness of the righteous judgment of Elohim. That's what that person is doing. Stacking up wrath, the day of judgment against themselves. Are you telling them not to do that and you were doing it? You condemning them for doing that and you were doing it? You were telling them to get right and you weren't doing it? Only thing you were doing was stacking up coals, hot coals on your head. If any of us are telling people, you got to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, you're not doing it, you're just stacking up coals on your head. You're stacking up wrath against the day of judgment upon yourself. Can't be a sayer and not a doer of the word. Verse 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds? To them who be by patience continuous in well-doing, by patience continue in well-doing, for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. So you want to keep doing good. You want to do the right thing. You don't want to just say it, but you want to do it. You don't want to just be talking it. You want to be a doer of his word. Then if you are, you want to do it with patience. Every day. So that you can receive eternal life. So that you can receive immortality with glory and honor. But unto them that are contentious, this contentious means that they contend with the word of the Most High, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that does evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. If you are not doing what the Most High said to do, it doesn't matter whether you Jew or Gentile. Excuse me. All of this negative stuff is going to fall upon you. Doesn't matter whether you are Jew. Doesn't matter whether you are Gentile. It is all of this. Indignation and wrath The Most High is going to be indignant with you. Ugh, can't stand to look at you. You are a stink in my nostrils. That's indignation. Just scorn. Wrath. I'm angry with you. I'm going to give you tribulation and anguish. And every soul of man that does evil, the Jew first and also the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace to every man that works good, to the Jew first and also the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with Elohim. It's not a respect of persons. Not a respecter of persons. You don't care whether you're a Jew or a Gentile if you're doing right. You don't care if you're a Jew or a Gentile if you're doing wrong. If you're doing wickedness, my wrath is going to fall on you. If you're doing good, my honor, I'm going to give you honor and glory. They'll fall upon you. Got to make up your mind. Which one do you want? Which one do you want? Verse 12. For as many have sinned without the law, and you can sin without the law. The law, that because you don't have it, don't know it, don't mean that there's no sin. But the Most High says, where there is no law, where there is no law, the law is not imputed, it's not charged. But the law is here. And ignorance of the law is no excuse. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish, be lost without the law. So all the Christians, all the people who never heard the law, all the people who say they don't have to keep the law, all the people who say they're not under the law, what's going to happen to them? They're going to perish. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. So if the law, if you keep in the law and you sin, whatever the judgment, the penalty for it in the law, that's what's going to happen to you. And we know that 99.9% of what's in the law concerning sin and the judgment for it is death. It ain't life. It's death. So the law's going to judge you. You sinned. You knew. You sinned. What does the law say concerning that? That's the judgment. Shall be judged by the law. And those that don't know the law and say they're not under the law, they're still going to perish because they were lawless. Most sides don't have to accept, you know, I didn't know. Well, it wasn't meant for you to know because I didn't want you from the beginning. Can the Most High think like that? Yeah, he can. Does he? I'm not saying he does, but he can. I never let the law be presented to you. Well, why? Because it condemns me to the lake. I'll let you think on that while you're in the lake. Know how fortunate that you are. Know how blessed that you are that the Most High allowed you to hear his plan of salvation that he opened up. Your mind and your heart to be able to hear his law, his statutes, his laws, his commandments, and his judgments. Now you got to make the choice to. You got to make the choice to keep them. You got to make the choice to do righteousness. You got to not make no excuses. Verse 14, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law. These having not the law are a law unto themselves. If you ever notice, if you take the 10 instructions of the Most High, the 10 commandments, in every nation, except for the fourth one, in every nation, whether it's to him or to another God, they abide by those things, by those laws. Don't say that they're biblical or we came up with these on our own. These are just common sense. We came up with these on our own. He says they become a law unto themselves. Show the work of the law written in their heart, their conscience also bearing witness. We kind of know what's right and what's wrong. And their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing, or else accusing one another. Because then they don't keep their own laws. But when their laws line up with the laws of the Most High, which they have pretty much tried to do, except for there's some things the Most High says he don't play, like a man laying with another man or a woman laying with another woman. A man, laying with a woman that is not married or that is engaged or raping her. Some things he don't play. And he says they have these laws. And they said they don't attribute it to him. He said they are a law unto themselves. And in their thoughts, accusing them of what they are not keeping, or their thoughts are causing them to accuse somebody else. Because if they think they're righteous, well, I don't sleep with another man's wife, but I'll accuse you of it. But yeah, I'm still having marriage outside of sex. It's just not with another man's wife. Because there are laws against fornicating, against having sex outside of marriage, even on the books of man, not just the books of the Most High. They don't charge each other with them because it's common to break it. And as long as two consenting adults, what does anybody else have to do with it? But it's a law on the book. If they want to charge you with it, they could. The Most High says, I'm going to charge you with it. So they're a law unto themselves. And he's going to hold them accountable. Because in your heart, you kind of knew what was right and wrong. You created laws to try to be righteous and to try to be good, but then you ain't keep them either. In that day, verse 16, in the day when Elohim shall judge the secrets of men by Yeshua HaMashiach, according to my gospel, behold, thou art called a Jew, and retest in the law, and rest, retest, and rest in the law, and maketh thy boast of Elohim, and knowest his will, and approves the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that thou thyself are a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness. You think you got the law, and you boast in it? An instructor of the foolish. You say you instructor, you confident thou boast that you are a guide of the blind, a light of them that are in darkness. You boast that you're an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has a form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou, therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? You're not teaching yourself to do right. You're not teaching yourself to be perfect. He's saying it's okay if you break the law a little bit. He's saying it's all right if a man and a woman come together and they make a contract between themselves that they're going to be married outside the will, outside of the commandments of the Most High. And if you do it for money, it's all right. If you do it for your rent payment, it's all right. You teaching somebody it's okay to sleep with your wife on the Sabbath, on holy days, to be unclean? Thou that preachest, a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Because we've got brothers out there doing that. Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast in the law, of the law, through breaking of the law, dishonorest thou Elohim? For the name of Elohim is blaspheming among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Go to Ezekiel chapter 36. This is nothing new. Ezekiel chapter 36. What time we got? 6:27. I got time to cover this. This is through the prophet Ezekiel. And I want us to hear this. Because remember, we just read that you telling people and you call yourself a teacher of the blind, you're a guide to the Gentiles, you're better than they are because you have the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, and you don't do them. Ezekiel chapter 36, starting in verse 1. Also, thou son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel, and say, you mountains of Israel, hear the word of Yah. Thus saith Yah Elohim, because the enemy has said against you, aha, even the ancient high places are ours in possession. Therefore prophesy and say, thus saith Yah Elohim, because they have made you desolate. Talking about Jerusalem. And Jerusalem being absent of us, desolate. Not that there's no people there. Because remember, the people just said, even the ancient high places are ours in possession. Therefore prophesy and say, thus saith Yah Elohim, because they have made you desolate. How can somebody be in the land in possession of the holy high places and be in the land be desolate, empty, void, like a desert? He's not talking about that type of desolation. He's talking about empty of his people. Okay? That's the desolation he's talking about. My people aren't there. Because they have made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, that you might be a possession unto the residue of the heathen. And you are taken up in the lips of talkers, and are an infamy of my people. Therefore, you mountains of Israel, hear the word of Yah Elohim. Thus saith Yah Elohim to the mountains, and to the hills, and to the rivers, to the valleys, to the desolate wastes, and to the cities that are forsaken, which became a prey and a derision to the residue of the heathen that are round about, captured his cities, took away his people. Therefore, thus saith Yah Elohim, surely in the fire of my jealousy, I have spoken against the residue of the heathen and against all Idumea, which have appointed my land into their possession with the joy of all their heart and with the spiteful mind to cast it out for a prey. Prophesy therefore concerning the land of Israel, and say unto the mountains, and to the hills, and to the rivers, and to the valleys. Thus saith Yah Elohim, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because you have borne the shame of the heathen. You, Israel, you, Jerusalem, have borne the shame of the heathen when they took over Jerusalem. Okay? But we're going to get down to the part that we just read in Romans chapter 2, where he says, let's get this real quick again, Romans chapter 2. I just want to get these last verses that we read so we make sure we stay on track in what we're covering. Let's see. Where did we stop at? Verse 24. Remember what we're reading for. Verse 22, 23, and 24. Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law. Remember, he introduced this as, these are his people that say that they are the teachers of the law, boasting that they lead the blind, boasting that they're the guide to babes and teaching them the law. He says, do you commit adultery and you teaching them not to? Do you abhor idols and you actually bow down and worship an idol? Thou makest thy boast of the law. You boast that you keep the law. Through breaking the law, dishonors thou Elohim. Because they're saying one thing and doing another. For the name of Elohim is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Now let's go back to Ezekiel. This is what we're looking for. Let's go back to the verse that we were in. Because he prophesied against the mountains of Israel, Jerusalem, and how Jerusalem has become desolate. And it's become desolate not because of what Jerusalem did, but what the people did. Ezekiel chapter 36. The book of Ezekiel chapter 36. And let's pick up where we left off. Pick up in verse 4. Verse 4, Ezekiel 36 and verse 4. Therefore, you mountains of Israel, hear the word of Yah Elohim. Thus saith Yah Elohim to the mountains and to the hills, to the rivers and to the valleys, to the desolate wastes and to the cities that are forsaken, which became a prey and a derision to the residue of the heathen that are round about. Because of the people and what they did, the Most High, Jerusalem and Israel got taken. Therefore, thus saith Yah Elohim, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen and against all Idumea, because Idumea, Esau, Herod, and all of them, they had taken control of Jerusalem at that time. They were in control of Jerusalem when Messiah came. It wasn't the tribe of Judah, which have appointed my land into their possession, which the joy of all their heart and with despiteful minds to cast it out for a prey. Prophesy therefore concerning the land of Israel, and say unto the mountains, and to the hills, and to the rivers, and to the valleys, thus saith Yah Elohim, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because you have borne the shame of the heathen. Therefore, thus saith Yah Elohim, I have lifted up my hand. Surely the heathen that are about you, they shall bear their shame. You think you're going to do this to me and to my land and to my people and puff yourself up? But let's keep going. But you, O mountains of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people, Israel, for they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and you shall be tilled and sown. I will multiply men upon you and all the house of Israel, even all of it. And the city shall be inhabited, and the waste shall be built. And I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit. And I will settle you after your old estate, and I will do better unto you than at your beginning, and you shall know that I am Yah. Verse 12. Yea, I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people Israel, and they shall possess thee, and thou shalt be an inheritance, and thou shalt no more in henceforth bereave them of men. Now this is all future. He's saying Jerusalem got taken and Israel got taken by the heathen, and the heathen bragged about it. He's going to be taken back and given back to his people. Okay? Verse 13. Thus saith Yah Elohim, because they say unto you, the land devours up men and has bereaved thy nation, to devour men no more, neither bereave thy nations anymore, saith Yah. Neither will I cause men to hear in thee the shame of the heathen anymore. Neither shalt thou bear the reproach of the people anymore. Neither shalt thou cause thy nations to fall anymore, saith Yah. Moreover, now verse 16. Moreover, the word of Yah came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doing. Their ways was before me as the uncleanliness of a removed woman. This means their uncleanliness was before the Most High as a woman on her menstrual cycle. She's supposed to be outside the camp. She's supposed to be separated. Because everything while she was on her cycle that she touched became unclean. So he's saying everything about Israel was unclean to him. Wherefore I pour out my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them amongst the heathen, among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the country according to their ways. And according to their doings, I judged them. And when they entered in, when they entered unto the heathen, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name. How? When they said to them, these are the people of Yah, and are gone forth out of his land. When we not in our own land, and we tell people who we are, he said, you caused them to profane my holy name. We just read that in Romans chapter 2. You caused them to profane my name by saying you are my people and you don't keep my statutes, my laws, and my commandments. You don't obey my voice. I kicked you out of the land. And now you're telling them you're my people? And then they're going to say you're my people? You caused them to profane my name. But I had pity for my holy name. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen wherever they went. Israel profaned the name of the Most High and caused the heathen to profane his name. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith Yah Elohim, I do not this for your sake. I'm not going to bring y'all all back and restore all this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake. For my name's sake, I'm going to restore all this, because my word is good. Whether you obeyed me or not, whether you disobeyed my voice or not, I'm not going to leave Jerusalem in shambles. I'm not going to leave Jerusalem desolate in the hands of the heathens. I'm not going to let them talk crap about me because of you. I'm not going to let them disobey and think they're going to get away with disobeying me because you didn't obey me. You're supposed to be the example. You say you're the teacher of the blind, the teacher of babes. You got my statutes, my laws, and my commandments, my judgments, and you don't keep them. You walked in their ways. I kicked you out the land, and you got the nerve to tell them you belong to me and you didn't obey me? You got the nerve to say that you're my people, causing them to profane my name? O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned amongst the heathen, wherever you went, I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am Yah, and Yah Elohim, says Yah Elohim, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. See, Israel believes that this sanctification starts in verse 24. No, the sanctification don't start in verse 24. This, I will be sanctified in you before their eyes. He's going to punish Israel, all of disobedient Israel, in front of the heathen when he gathers us. He's going to gather us again, and we're waiting for that. We're looking for that. We're waiting for his return. And he's going to gather us back to Sinai. And it says there he's going to plead with us. But he's also going to bring the Gentiles there, all those that believe in him, who call on his name, who are called by his name. And there he's going to be sanctified before them in us. Everybody who's rebellious, he's going to burn them up right there in front of the heathen. That's what he means by that. Just like when Nadab and Abihu burnt strange fire on the altar, and the Most High burnt them up. And Moses turned around to Aaron and said, this is what I told you about. I told you guys, if you don't do what he say do, you're going to be set as the example. He's going to make you an example. And he burnt up his two sons right there in front of everybody. You better do what he says to do, and you better do exactly what he says to do. Now, don't open your mouth and complain. At least you get some of the same. It says, and Aaron held his peace. Because the Most High sanctified himself in Aaron's two sons. Burnt them up for offering fire at the wrong time. When they thought they going to do a good, when they want to do it, and the Most High says, that's strange to me. I didn't tell you to do that then. I told you, Israel, to keep my statutes, my laws, and my commandments. You didn't do it. Then you got the nerve to tell people I'm your people, that you're my people, I'm your God, and you still don't obey my voice. I'm going to be sanctified in you before their eyes. This is what happens to you when you do what Israel did to me. So don't you do it. Because this is what happens. Burnt to a crisp to cinders in seconds. Like he did the priest that came and confronted Moses. Who are you? We be priests and men too. We of the tribe of Levi. Okay. Y'all go get y'all censers, y'all incense censers, and bring them back here tomorrow and burn them before the altar. And let's see who the priest of the Most High really is. And these dummies, when they got their censers, 250 of them, brought it back to the altar and burnt incense. And the Most High says, the only one authorized to burn incense before the altar is Aaron and his sons. Burnt up these 250 men in seconds. Seconds. All that was left was the censers and ashes. Now, who got the idea they want to do this again? Who want to claim this right? So he's saying, I'm going to be sanctified in you, Israel. You caused the heathen to profane my name. I'm going to judge you. You claim to be the teachers. You claim to be the leaders of the blind. You claim to be leading babes. And you doing the same things that you coming against them. They got our people in confusion. They got our people thinking that they can enter into contracts that are not, they are not godly. They are not sanctified before the Most High. Entering into marriage arrangements that don't include the Most High, are not within His covenant, and saying that they're teaching people righteousness. He said, I'm going to be sanctified in you. If you say you know, but you're doing all this stuff that you're telling them not to do, and you're justifying yourself in doing it. And you're causing them to profane my name. But I'm going to restore Israel, the land. And I'm going to restore the remnant of you, those that obey my voice. I'm going to bring y'all all back into the wilderness. But ain't all of y'all not entering into the promised land. All of y'all not going to enter back into Jerusalem, into Israel. I'm going to kill the rebellious ones of you in the wilderness. I have to teach that lesson another time, but I'm going to give you the overview of it right now in this. Judgment for being insecure. Judgment or wanting to brag about who you are when he said, don't tell nobody who you are. Don't claim to be my people and you ain't in the land. Don't tell the heathen that, because you cause them to profane my name. But you're still doing your nonsense. Still out there being hard-hearted, preaching on the corners, calling women bitches and whores, and be my slave and come and sit at my feet or lean or kiss my feet. Come here, Gentile, and kiss my feet, and then saying you're my people when I told you to be meek and humble. You telling my people it's okay to enter into adulterous relationships when I told you. If your husband is still alive, you can't marry somebody else. And if you get put away by your husband and you marry somebody else, you are an adulterer. And if he puts you away for any reason other than you cheated, he's an adulterer. And you causing my people to enter into adulterous relationships, and then you're saying you're not an adulterer? You cause people to profane my name. And I'm going to sanctify myself in you. I'm going to set you as the example so that they know better than to do what you did. So we have to do better. We have to understand. We have to get it. Can't be messing around with all this nonsense, because then we're going to get the eternal judgment of the lake. Waking up to who we are and still doing foolishness. Claiming we the people of the book. We better than you are because we God's chosen people. And then we're teaching them to profane his name. We misrepresented him by being hypocritical, saying one thing and then teaching something else, or teaching one thing and doing another. Teaching incorrect doctrines. Oh, it's all right. The marriage bed is undefiled. You can be with your wife and come and be in a lesson today. It's all good. It's all good. Profaning his name. So we got to make sure we stay away from this. Got to make sure that we are walking upright before him. Got to make sure that we're not doing things that please us and please our flesh because it's convenient. Because we don't want to really impose the judgment of the Most High, so we will teach our people that it's okay to be in adulterous relationships. It's okay to fornicate if y'all both in agreement. Profaning his name. Let us bow our head. Father, yeah. Father, we thank you for the Feast of Unleavened, Father. We thank you for giving us an opportunity to come before you, Father, and to bear our souls to you, to take out whatever sin is in our lives, to renew our commitment to you. As we do monthly, Father, but you have made a way in a place that we should celebrate it during the Feast of Unleavened. First, recognizing that you delivered our people from out of Egypt, and in the latter days you have delivered mankind, also by the blood of a lamb, your lamb, Mashiach, that all men might come to you, have a chance to come to you. Father, we celebrate and we acknowledge that if Messiah be lifted up, that he shall draw all men unto him. Father, we want to be not only in the first fruits, Father, but we want to be the chosen grains in the first fruit. Help us to become in your eyes those choice grains that you might choose us because we have been obedient to you, not just in word, but also in deed, that we have done according to your word. Father, on this last day of the feast, cemented in every hearer's heart that they must be committed with their whole heart, not with some of them, not with a piece of them, but with their whole heart to your word, to you, Father, to obey your voice and keep your commandments and to not break your covenant, not break the contract that we have entered in with you, that we would not shame Messiah, but that we would walk in all his ways and we would keep his commandments and that we would not cause the nations to profane your name because of our walk, that we would not claim weakness and that we're human as an excuse to cause the nations fame your name, to question, why does it even worship you? They look at us and say, why should we worship your God? You don't even obey him. Why should we? Father, take that out of us. Let us not bring shame upon you. Let us not bring your eternal judgment that we should end up in the lake. because of our pride and our arrogance, because you woke us up and told us that we were your people, and that's all that we know. And we want to claim to be your people, but we don't want to do what you say do. Father, to all the Gentiles that hear your word and want to be part of your kingdom, but don't believe that they should obey your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, that they should keep your judgments, that they are not under them. Father, all that you should choose, show them that they are outlaws, that they might love you by faith, but indeed they are denying you, that they are also profaning your name. But it was caused by us, your people, because we won't get it right. We caused them to profane it. So let us go forth, Father. Give us the strength. Give us the wisdom. Give us the willpower that we should go forth and proclaim your name amongst the heathen, your name amongst the Gentiles, and that we would be the example of what to do and not the example of what not to do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Let us listen to a song. And I pray, I really do pray, that we have been changed.
I've been changed. I'll be the first to say I was one of them, that we only live by grace and just by faith. I was taught to listen to what my pastor say, only you should trust in him, he'll never lead you astray. Now that I know better, they don't even live according to the letter. They throw away the Holy Scriptures, telling me that it's all done with. Like the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's written that his word don't change. Why do you lie and defy the Holy Scripture just to satisfy your desire? And now that I know better, he don't even live according to the letter. They throw away the Holy Scripture, telling me that it's all done.
I've been changed.
right. Amen. On tomorrow, Sabbath lesson will be, we're still going to be in discipleship. We're still going to be in eternal judgment. We're going to look at how are you going to be rewarded? How are your works, excuse me, how are your works going to be judged? We know what you will receive, but how will your works be judged on tomorrow for Sabbath lesson? Then on Sabbath evening, I don't know yet, as the Most High gives it to me. We'll see how far we get in this discipleship and eternal judgment. But Sabbath morning, I mean. I don't know what I'm going to do yet. But, you know, as always, we will be here. I pray that the Most High keeps each and every one of you safe this evening, that he encamps his angels around you, that they keep you safe from all hurt and harm. Remember, fear Yah, keep his commandments, for this is your duty, your whole duty. If you walk in these words, you shall find yourself pleasing the Most High. Have a blessed evening, family. Remember, I love you, I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. I can only teach you what thus saith Yah Elohim. Shalom, family. Have a blessed evening. See you guys on tomorrow. And happy Feast of Unleavened Bread, the end of it. You know what? Before we go, I should have done this, and it just came to my heart, so I'm going to do it.
think it's amazing. It's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yeah, who are you? One time, push a button. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo.
Which dwelleth